Welcome back to the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. The Transportation Security Administration and the State Department's Passport Office have two things in common. They both interact with citizens when they're traveling, and they both have had bad customer service problems. But they've also made efforts to improve, and joining me with more, Mallory Barg-Bowman, Research Director at the Partnership for Public Service. Mallory, are these two agencies poster childs for what is great or for what is terrible, or both?
Hey, good morning, Tom. I would say it's as is usually the case, it depends. So both the Department of State's Passport Services and the TSA are, you know, active right now as people are trying to travel during the summer. And we've done any number of different efforts to look at how citizens are working with them. We've been working with Accenture Federal Services for the past several years to really look at government's customer service efforts and try to understand both what great customer service looks like in the federal government, because it certainly does exist, and also some practices that really contribute to less than positive experiences on behalf of citizens.
Now, talking about TSA first, in terms of customer service, does that mean the encounter of the security officers at the airport screening, or say other areas of TSA where you might be applying for pre-screening service, that kind of thing?
Sure. So it applies to all of it, actually. So in 2014, TSA screened more than 653 million passengers. That's a lot of people coming through. Also, you know, as you referenced, TSA is responsible for the very popular pre-check service. In fact, as part of our Service to America medals, we recognized as a nominee John Wagner, who works over in CBP and is responsible for that program. And the pre-check program is immensely popular. People are traveling in and out of the country much more frequently now. And in fact, we've seen wait times reduced by as much as 40% for passengers arriving from abroad at a number of major airports as a result of it. What happens with the global pre-check is individuals can go through screening, you know, everything from fingerprints to background checks ahead of time. And that clearance lasts 5 years, which allows individuals to go in and out of airports much more quickly.
And well, I have to tell you, my wife and I both just got global entry. And first you have to apply online. It's not TSA. It's, as you point out, it's CBP. Mm-hmm. And the online process is not that bad. It takes about 20, 25 minutes for each application. And then you get confirmation back, pre-clearance, very quickly. The only glitch was when you make your in-person appointment. In my case, it was the Ronald Reagan building. You can go to Dulles Airport locally, all over the country. You sign up for an appointment time. But when you get there, it's first come, first serve. So there were like eight people before me who had later times that they took first. A minor annoyance, but the kind of thing that kind of gets under your skin a little bit.
Sure, but I think folks have found that in the long run, if you're traveling a lot internationally, even the small wait time when you're doing it pays off, because you're able to bypass really the long lines in security. Folks have said that, you know, they went from waiting an hour and a half in line to waiting, you know, 15, 20 minutes when they actually get to the airport on the day of travel. So it's really made a big difference. We also, again, worked with Accenture to do some social media sentiment analysis, where we looked online at things like Yelp and saw what people were saying about the TSA. And, you know, the average star rating, we looked at 12 major cities, you know, everything from Boston to Philadelphia, Denver, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Seattle. And we saw TSA had a 2.1 average star rating, and that's out of 5. So that's really not very high. That's based on about 300 reviews. But as you look at the range, you see a wide range of experiences. Everything from, you know, you see on there right now at the Detroit airport, there was a professional photographer and was bringing his cameras through, and a bomb expert was called. But then you also see examples like at Springfield, Virginia, where you had somebody traveling with her mother's ashes and was really dreading the experience. And the TSA agent pulled her over to just sort of go through the procedures, but first went up to this person and said, "I'm really sorry for your loss." And this person went to Yelp to report just what a meaningful experience that was, that made her feel good, that, you know, something that she was really dreading, this person took a moment to really relate to her as a person.
And, which is also an important point to bring out. It's not only the crabby people that put things on Yelp.
Absolutely. And actually, that was one thing that we were really interested in as we were looking at social media as a possible data source on customer service. And You do find that people tend to report if they have a really bad experience or a really positive experience. But it's really not all bad. There's really positive experiences, and people are taken aback by really, you know, exceptional customer service in the government.
Well, I've had great experiences with TSA over the years. I have to say, I've had some neutral, but I've never really had anything bad, and I fly a fair amount. We're speaking with Mallory Barg-Bowman, Director of Research at the Partnership for Public Service. Let's turn to the Passport Office. What did you discover there, and what have they done?
Sure. So the Passport Office, you had, in fiscal year 2014, the Passport Office issued more than 14 million passports and passport cards. And, you know, just was looking at analytics.usa.gov yesterday and saw that in the past 30 days alone, you had 11,793,000 people go to travel.state.gov. Also, yesterday alone, you had about 7,500 people download passport forms and, you know, about 7,000 folks download the forms to renew a passport. So this is a service that individuals are using all the time. When you talk about customer service with passports, one of the really interesting things, as you likely know, is it's not all done by the State Department. Sometimes you'll get your passport photo taken at a post office or, you know, any of number of other locations. So people's experience is sort of controlled by a lot of different individuals.
Also, I think there's you've probably seen this sardonic poster that states, and you see it in back offices, bad planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part. And they do tell you, leave some time to get that passport if you're doing it by mail.
That's absolutely true. But at the same time, we've seen some examples where, you know, passport services has really gone above and beyond to really help individuals. Going back to the social media sentiment analysis that we did with Accenture, we looked at passport services online, and they actually get a 4.3 average star rating out of 5, which is really, really quite high. Some of these places get a perfect 5-star rating. And, you know, there's examples that you read, you know, again and again, actually, about passport professionals being willing to really go above and beyond to make sure people can travel when they want. Particularly, there's an office at 250 Broadway in San Francisco that has a perfect 5-star rating from more than 80 customer reviews on Yelp. And folks really do appreciate the above and beyond steps that that folks at these sites have taken.
Well, I've got a story there, too. This was a number of years ago. We were about to take an overseas trip with the kids when they were younger, and we discovered the night before travel that my daughter's passport had expired, because when you're very young, it's only good for 5 years.
Right.
The night before. Long story short, there is an office in D.C. where you can get a passport within a couple of hours. So my wife marched, she and my daughter, into the passport place somewhere in inner D.C. And by golly, they really did move mountains, and she had a passport within a couple of hours. And it saved the trip.
Yeah, it's really incredible. And
cost $200, but they did it.
Right, and without those people's effort, you wouldn't have been able to do that. I think one of the interesting things when you talk about customer service in the public sector is really different than the private sector. There certainly are best practices from the private sector that the public sector can learn from. But if I'm going to go buy a pair of shoes, for example, I have a number of different places that I can go. I also have the option of paying more for, you know, better customer service or, you know, a quicker process. Within the public sector, you have values such as equity. You also have things that can only be done by certain organizations. With passports, at some point, the Department of State has to be the group to make the decision if a person is going to have a passport or not. And that really does affect customer service.
That's something Amazon will never do, huh?
That's exactly right.
Mallory Barg-Bowman is Research Director at the Partnership for Public Service. As always, thanks so much for that insight.
Thanks very much.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends. 55 past the hour. This is the Federal Drive with Tom Temin. Follow us on Facebook.com/Federal News Radio and on Twitter. Our handle is @FedNewsRadio. Up next, the top national and federal headlines. I'm Tom Temin.